Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." This context is vital for the parable that follows. One parable in three separate stories: the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the two lost sons, often less accurately known as the prodigal son. The context is vital, I say, because the point of these stories is not ultimately that God is like a shepherd who searches for a single lost sheep, or like a woman who turns her house upside down to find one lost coin, or like a father who welcomes back a son who had treated him shamefully and wasted the inheritance he had demanded. The context, along with careful attention to the way each of these stories ends, shows that the seeking and finding and welcoming are not the main point. That's because with this parable, with these three stories, Jesus was responding to the grumbling Pharisees and scribes. They would never receive sinners, wouldn't welcome them or interact with them socially, much less eat with them. To eat with someone, according to their understanding, was to affirm that person. It was to say, "I find nothing in you that is objectionable. Whatever you might have said, however badly you may have behaved, none of that matters. There is nothing to separate us." How was it, they wanted to know, that Jesus could associate with, even eat with, traitors and thieves and adulterers, and others who lived manifestly sinful lives? He was freely associating with the dregs of society. People are known by the company they keep. And the company Jesus was keeping spoke volumes to them. This man identifies with the worst of sinners. He eats with them. In the stories Jesus tells in response, he doesn't dispute his involvement with sinners. Not in the least. It's true. He welcomes sinners, and he shares a meal with them. But he says that's no reason to grumble. Quite the contrary. It's a cause for rejoicing. The shepherd who finds a single lost sheep, the woman who finds a single lost coin, the father whose lost son returns home, each of these throws a party, rejoicing that what was lost has been found. And Jesus says it's not just these who rejoice and are glad when what was lost has been restored. For in their rejoicing, they provide a window into what goes on in heaven when a sinner repents, when a sinner is converted. In Jesus' own words, "Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance." And also, "Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents." By the way, have you ever thought about what Jesus is indicating when he says that there is joy before the angels of God? Remember the descriptions we have of heaven in the scriptures. The angels of God are always before, that is, facing, the Lord God on his heavenly throne. Thus, when Jesus says that there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents, he's saying more than simply that there is great joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. He's saying that God himself, who is before the angels, God himself rejoices over the repentance of a single sinner. So as Jesus concludes his stories of the lost sheep and the lost coin, he is inviting the Pharisees and scribes to reconsider their grumbling. Do they really wish to be out of step with heaven? To be found grumbling while heaven is rejoicing? The challenge becomes more pointed when Jesus tells of the older brother who refuses to join the party, who won't come into the celebration his father has thrown because his younger son, the man's own brother, has returned. In these three stories, Jesus is asking the Pharisees and the scribes, "What about you? Will you continue to behave like the older brother? Will you actually exclude yourself from your heavenly Father's happiness? Exclude yourself from the eternal joys of heaven and that wedding feast that goes on forever? Because you'd rather be in hell than be in the same house as that repentant brother of yours?" Jesus doesn't say how the older brother in the third story finally responded. That story simply ends with the father's plea, "Come in." Luke doesn't tell us what the Pharisees and scribes to whom Jesus first spoke these stories did when they heard them. Perhaps the mirror that Jesus held up in this parable caused them to do some soul searching. You and I certainly should take what Jesus says here to heart. For we are not immune from the mindset of the Pharisees and scribes, from thinking that there's a difference between us and all of those awful others, the murderers and leaders of drug cartels, pornographers and child molesters and terrorists. To that way of thinking, Jesus says, there isn't any difference. What those people deserve for their sin is what you deserve as well. Punishment here in time and forever in eternity. The wages of sin is death. And it doesn't matter whether it's one tiny, weeny little sin. Not that you or I or anyone else is guilty of just one tiny little sin. It doesn't matter if it's just one tiny, weeny little sin, or a million of particularly heinous ones. Either way, the punishment is the same. Death and hell. And the fact that that's true makes all the difference in how you respond to the reality that Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And not only receives them, but goes out looking for them, looking for you. In the epistle reading this morning, St. Paul gives a bit of his resume. I was, he says, a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent of Christ Jesus. And he's not exaggerating in the least. Paul had used violence against the Church of Christ. He had the blood of Christians on his hands. But Jesus receives sinners. As St. Paul writes, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To paraphrase St. Paul only a little, rejoice. The fact that Jesus had mercy on me, the greatest sinner ever, means that even you aren't beyond reach of his mercy. The reason Jesus came into the world was to save sinners. He didn't come for the pious and upright and honorable. As he himself put it, the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. The lost. Those who persecuted him as St. Paul did. Tax collectors like Matthew. Sinners like you and me, whose most righteous deeds in God's sight are a polluted garment. But you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. The blood of Jesus, God's Son, cleanses you from all sin. It's Jesus who is the fulfillment of the Lord's promise through the prophet Ezekiel. Behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and I will rescue them. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep. And I myself will make them to lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. Earlier, I paraphrased the complaint of the Pharisees and scribes to the effect that Jesus identifies with sinners. That phrase gets right to the heart of what Jesus did for you. It is literally true. Speaking of Jesus, St. Paul wrote, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. There on the cross, the Father regarded Jesus as the sinner. That's why he was forsaken by the Father as he hung there. That's why he died there. He was your sin and my sin,
the whole world's sin, receiving the wages of sin. The wonderful truth is that there is no sin for which Jesus has not once and for all suffered the full punishment. There is no sin that Jesus did not bear in his body there on the cross. And from the cross, Jesus said, "It is finished." And so it is. The punishment for sin has been suffered. The salvation of sinners, your salvation, has been won. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the joy set before him, the joy of winning your salvation, and welcoming you into the eternal banquet of the Lamb and his kingdom, the joy of eating with you and an innumerable multitude of other sinners, Jesus endured this cross, scorning and shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. By his cross, Jesus has prepared a place for you, and he will come back and will take you with him, so that you will always be with the Lord. So rejoice today with the Lord God, and with his holy angels, and with the whole company of heaven. For Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. Jesus receives you and me. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.